Hey team, this is LDR, National Director of Team World Vision. Welcome beyond the walls. This week, we had an incredible opportunity to talk with Javi Diaz, another World Vision US staff member who lives in Delaware. We get to dig into what it looks like to do church, have church, and be the church right now while we are not gathering in person. Javi is not only an unbelievable senior church advisor working with churches all along the East Coast, but he is central to his own church family, friends. He is stepping up in the gap like many of us to help make church gatherings happen during this crazy time of COVID-19. Javi shares his heart, for ministry and his people and churches all around the country. And we dig in again to what it looks like to be able to gather in this very odd space, but also the essence of being the church in this time. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
It's nice. Yeah, that is a really nice mic sound though you've got going there.
Thank you. This is part of the deal right now with online church.
Yeah.
I have some level of gear mm-hmm. that I had before I started doing all this stuff. And now it's actually coming into, yeah, it's quite helpful to have all this stuff. Yeah. So in the background here, you can see my bedroom / studio. So I have lights and mic stands and guitars and.
So prior to, you know, this COVID church world, were you on a worship committee at your church, Javi? Like, how did this come to be, you being so central in the production of what church looks like?
Well, that's a great question. The answer is yes, but it was also that I started, like, even before that. My dad was a traveling singer and preacher, and he taught me how to do sound. So I would set up like his cassette player and set up his tracks, and he recorded like an album. And so he taught me how to do sound so that when he got to the church, I would set up his speakers and his board and his cassette player, and he would bring all his own sound with him. So I learned how to do that when I was pretty young and then just kept doing it through my teenage years and even into adulthood. And then when I joined the church that I'm at now, Outreach of God's Word, we needed someone to do sound, and I started doing it there. And then once we had kids, I kind of took a back seat to doing too much on a Sunday, like a working Sunday. And recently have been called back into that because of COVID-19. So once it hit and we started meeting remotely, we had to figure out a way to have community with people. And I mean, at that point, we didn't even have a website. We don't even have a website. So we needed to figure out tech pretty quick.
Preach, brother. Preach.
So we went from no website. Actually, we went from having a website to canceling the website to figuring out a way to get God's word in front of people and to get worship in front of people. And my wife, Sarah, of 13 years, is the worship leader. So because of that, we had some gear. And yeah, here we are. We're doing worship from our house, and we record it and we edit it, and then I get a video from my pastor. We stitch it together, and yeah, that's kind of what a typical week/weekend is for us now. Yeah,
it's wild, isn't it?
Crazy.
It's yeah. So I go to a small church, small Presbyterian church here in LA, and I mean, we have a website, right? We post sermons, just audio online. I can't say, I love my church peeps, but I can't say the quality is always the best. But, you know, it just, that wasn't necessarily, you know, making sure that the technology was of the utmost wasn't necessarily our priority in our church space. And so when this all flipped and changed, you know, we just have an unbelievably gifted group of pastors and people and community. And I think like the essence of our church isn't that we're polished or have like a great performance. And again, we have really talented people, but that hasn't been maybe our flagship thing. You know, it's more as the community that we gather together. We get, you know, it's messy together, but it's beautiful together. And we do it together. So when we were kind of like, oh my gosh, what do we do? First, there was like this worship at home kit So, I mean, a Presbyterian church, we kind of have a mixed kind of blended kind of service. So there's liturgy involved, but there's also worship in a contemporary form involved, hymns involved. We're a mismatch of things, you know, but it was literally like a kit that, like, here's kind of the call and response. And it was a Word document, but then there were links that, like, people could go and listen to music. But we clearly were not, like you're saying, set up for this at all. And we found that Zoom, because of the size of our church, worked well in the essence of community, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we've got all these different options, and it's really forcing us individually and as, like, the larger church body, whether it's leaders or people that go to church or that just we, the body of Christ, the church,
yeah,
are asking these questions of, oh, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to go to church if we can't go? So I'm just really excited to be chatting with you in the mix of that, to know a little bit about your history, and then you've got these gifts in the middle of it. I mean, how did your church kind of come to the conclusion that it did so that you can be in the space that you're in?
Well, you know, I don't know if my pastor called me first or if I called him first, but I think it might have started as a conversation between he and I, just saying, hey, we can't gather in groups of 10 or more anymore. We can't get together anymore. And what are we going to do? Do we try to live stream? Do we do Facebook? Do we do Zoom meetings? We tried Zoom. And what we found, and I think every congregation is so different, we had to figure out what worked for our congregation, right? So, like you were saying, Zoom works for you guys, but that's, right, you know, I don't know, maybe Presbyterians have an affinity towards Zoom. Like, everybody has Zoom, right? I don't know. But it seems like people were doing Zoom, or were doing WebEx, or were doing Facebook Live, or were doing Instagram, or some people are doing Twitch. Like, everybody's doing something different, but it's a matter of where their people are gathering. So one of the questions we asked was, A, what's fast? And then two, what's free? So those were kind of the two driving principles for us, what's fast and what's free. And obviously Zoom is free and a lot of other tools are free. But we also have a demographic of people where accessibility, we wanted to make it easy for people to get there. So fast, free, and easy. And we ended up using, you know, Life Church's online platform on Church Online. And the reason for that was because it allowed us to actually broadcast it out to people via a web browser or via their phones or whether they're iPads. So technology was a very low barrier. We didn't have to download these apps or these plugins or these, I mean, you know what it's like working with Zoom or RingCentral or WebEx or some of these. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And we wanted just a platform for people to be able to gather on without having to worry about their tech. But it's you know, it's different. You know, we've had to figure it out as we go along, and we're just trying to make the best of it.
What have been some of the challenges of helping make virtual church actually happen?
So many challenges. So many challenges. I could think of a few, but the one that kind of comes off the top of my head was this time where I was just having a lot of trouble having the video render. And for those of you who don't know what that means, this is basically what it means. Our church pre-records the service. We have our pastor who records his sermon. He uploads it to YouTube, and then I'm able to download it from YouTube and stitch together with our worship and with some of the elements of our service. And on that weekend, I was trying to stitch everything together. I had the worship and it sounded great. I had the teaching and it sounded great. I had all our transitions and all of the lyrics. I had everything just teed up just right. And the only thing that I couldn't get it to do was to render. What is rendering? Rendering means I'm trying to get my video editor to spit out the final video. And I couldn't get it to spit out. I think my computer crashed 5 or 6 different times while I was trying to get this video to render and while I was trying to get it to spit it out, and it just would not do it. So I had to chop up one long video into 3 shorter videos and then take those 3 videos and put those together and then get that to spit out into one long video. And I think I got it done and upload it to YouTube for Sunday sometime around 6:45 on Sunday morning, and our church gathers at 10:15. And we were able to get it done, but it meant that I had to stay up all night checking my computer every 20 minutes and make sure that I didn't have the blue screen of death.
What has stayed the same for you guys, and what are some of the shifts in this space?
You know, as you were talking, the one thing that kind of jumped out at me about what you were saying in terms of having like your liturgy, your word document where you kind of go through line by line of what the service is going to be, is that's authentic to who you are, right? There's a sense of authenticity that word document gives you. This call and response, it's part of your liturgy, that's part of your Sunday, that's authentic. So that makes church feel more like church. So for us, we're a home church, and we get together Sundays as a larger group, but it's very homey feel. So there are couches and there are big chairs and there's a screen, and worship isn't always live, but sometimes it is. So we wanted to be authentic to what that experience was like as well. So for us, it's shooting, you know, worship in our bedroom, although you can't see the bed, but that's where we shoot it. Like, it's, you can tell that it's in a room in our house. For our pastor, he has a little cabin in his backyard where he can go, and it's very rustic, and it's very Bob. Like, it's very much Pastor Bob, but that's authentic to who he is. So I think that hasn't surprised me. What has surprised me is that our people are showing up. our people are showing up to church online. And I think some pastors are really surprised by that. Some pastors are surprised that their people are showing up to a screen when they've been used to showing up for community with people and the touch and feel of people. So I think that, you know, as we've kind of gone in and settled in, we've seen attendance climbing on our web streams. And we're a simulated live kind of church, so which presents a whole other set of challenges. But we've seen people showing up to church and engaging in the chat and saying good morning. And you kind of get this, you know what this is like for you, LDR. Like, when you go to church, you know who's going to be there first and where they're going to be sitting, right? Like, you kind of know where your spot is in the congregation and where you're going to be sitting. So, in like fashion, when people kind of come into the online experience, they're checking in. They almost come in at exactly the same time every Sunday. So it's like, here comes Jay, and he's talking about Tony, his dog. You know, he calls him the dog. And here comes Lily, and here comes Colette. And it's almost exactly at the same time every Sunday. So you kind of get into these rhythms. And that's also been a little bit surprising. Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you about the level of authenticity and connectivity. And I think that is maybe ironic to me or interesting in that we are so separated, but in way things now are more personal than ever. So while, you know, we are a church that likes our liturgy and worship and things, also now within the Zoom space, like you're saying, I'm sitting in my living room on the floor with my daughter playing with her as she's running around, and people are watching me in my living room and I'm watching them in theirs, and we, you know, we're all in our Brady Bunch screens and whatnot as the sermon is being preached. But actually, we've been rotating it throughout our congregation, so different people have been bringing different words, and we're all watching each other in these spaces. But we've introduced breakout groups for the neighbor time, so everybody's like pushed into a group, and they get like 5 to 7 minutes to greet your neighbor like you would normally, right? And then you zoom back in, and it goes back into church, and then post the sermon, which has been really cool, is we do additional breakout groups and the sermons now have been more shifted towards questions that can be engaged in small groups, right? So where, you know, usually after a sermon in almost, I would say, any denomination or traditional background, there's usually some sort of worship or pause that you can sit with that word, right? Maybe ask some questions, journal for yourself. we've now pushed people into groups with a couple key questions from the text or the sermon itself and said, hey, let's discuss this. And same thing, like you're saying, we're seeing really steady, if not growing, attendance over the weeks. And, you know, we're watching the numbers with breakout groups, whether it's Greet Your Neighbor or right after the sermon. And people will even, like, they go and they come, but they're not leaving at all. And just the level of connectivity with the Greet Your Neighbor or whatnot, people are loving hearing from each other and having space to talk about the sermon. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like it's just this odd, odd innovative space that while we're fighting a disease and there's a lot of death and there's a lot of change and there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of fear, these platforms and this space for church is creating stability, but also a new level of maybe more authentic and more intentional community, depending on how it's done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things about church is that kind of similar to work or to school, they exist as these other spaces where we can kind of put on our best faces, right? I mean, when they say kind of put on your Sunday best, it's because you're going to put on your best clothes to go to Sunday so that you can look the best version of yourself. And that's, I mean, just saying some of that is a facade. You know, we want to put on a good face. We want to put on our Sunday best so that when we go to church, people think that we have it all together.
Which same is thing so over. Contradictory to the the message of Christ.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
We want to bring the reverence and the awe and the love and we want to like do well by God, clearly, but like, no, he wants our crap.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But I think one of the things that's coming out of this is that, and maybe this is a blessing in disguise, is that because people have seen our true selves, our messiness in our homes with children climbing on us, with the dog barking at the inopportune time, with you forgetting you are on mute and saying something you shouldn't have said while you were, you know, with everybody else in the room. I think these are opportunities for us to realize that we don't have it all together, right? Mm-hmm. That we can be real and that, and my hope is that coming out of COVID-19 and these kind of remote experiences, worship experiences, and teaching experiences, is that we can bring that realness back into the church. We can bring it back into, because the reality is people are getting a perspective on one another that they've never had before. And hopefully that is an attitude that we can kind of bring back into the church so that people that feel like they need to have it all together to go to church can actually start to feel like, you know what, I don't have to have it all together, because I've seen you in your pajamas on a Sunday. Like, I've been there. So don't try to act like you're somebody else now that we're back on, you know, back meeting in person, because I really know who you are, because I've seen, we've been gathering together for the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, or I mean, who knows how long? I mean, it could be 5-6 months, right? And I know how messy life can be. So that's the person I want to see in church, and that's the person I want to be in church. It's fun to think about what may be a blessing that comes out of all of this. And I think you're right. It's the church should be a place for messy people. And Lord knows I am.
I mean, so with church, I mean, Javi, you're in this new space. You've helped produce quote unquote church, you know, for like the last 8 weeks. What do you think is going to be different on the other side of this? What stays? What goes? Do we go back? What does moving forward look like?
Yeah, I think that what stays, what goes, part of what we've experienced at our church is a very, because we're simulating a live environment, the amount of feedback that people are able to give in real time is limited. Whereas with you, you're on a Zoom call, right? So people, there may be a time for people to gather and to have instant feedback to that, which is probably closer to what we at our church have done. At our church, we're used to having just very specific time of our pastor asking us questions in the middle of the sermon and asking us to break into smaller groups, like legit having our own little breakout groups because we're a small church. So when you get 30 people together, he can say, break out in groups of three. We're going to have 10 groups of three. And then I'm going to ask you a question, and then I want you to come back and give me your feedback. And that happens in real life. In a virtual environment, for now, right now for us, that's not happening. So I think people are hungry for that. And I think one of the things we need to figure out is how to allow people to have that experience even now inside of this virtual worship kind of environment. But for you guys, I think it's going to be really interesting for people to want and hunger for that breakout session in the real church. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how you guys take what has helped you build community from a virtual environment into an actual environment. So I think some churches are going to do that incredibly well. Yeah.
Like you're saying, what are the pillars of who we are in it, you know, like who are we is, I mean, the foundational question that we all have to be asking ourselves individually, but corporately, like, who are we? Whose are we? Helps answer that question, right? Like, well, we need to look at that because what we do, how we function comes out of who we are. Do we even need a church building? Well, you know, like the Bible says that we need to gather, but the Bible does not say that we need four walls, but that challenges church, contemporary church, and what that means. Now, not all churches, that's not scary for all churches, you know, but I think that there can be potentially a church paradigm versus a kingdom paradigm.
Totally.
And then also there are churches that are definitely both, you know, like there are people, they're kingdom, they're doing things. And this is just, you know, even, and I say that with no malice in my heart, with complete well-intended, you know, because I think a lot of us, you know, we all operate within the culture we are in, right? There's always this question of this tension, right? Do we have a lens of Christ and we see our culture through the lens of Christ, or do we have a lens of culture into which we see Christ? Mm. You know, and I think our lenses now, because of the situation, you know, we're kind of polishing them up and we don't know what to see, or we don't know how to see it. And this re-entering period of time of what we're doing hopefully leads us to a more authentic understanding of who we are.
Just in preparing for this, I just started thinking about, you know, when people hear the church without walls or you are the church, what does that really even mean? Like take that to scripture for me for a second, you know, elaborate on that for a moment. So I just started looking at that this morning, and the realization that was coming to me as I read and as I studied a little bit was that God's presence moved into physical spaces for the benefit of people. Like that's why he did it. He did it for the benefit of people. But you know, as we look at even back to Genesis 1, which, I mean, if you go back to Eden, you look at that, I mean, that's cosmic temple type language. I mean, that's really what it's talking about. This is where God met with humans so that they could reign over the earth. So, and they were to take and they were to subdue the earth and to take that kingdom into the rest of the earth. But, you know, as you look at Eden, it was a high place where God met with his people. And anyway, not to get too theological in this conversation, because I know we're talking about virtual church, but if you look at even how God tabernacled in the wilderness with his people, all of these things are built on exile motifs. There were these portions of areas where God met with his people, they were thrown out of the land, then he would meet with his people again, and then they would mess up again, and they would be thrown out into the land, they would go into exile. And in some way, shape, or form, and I'm not comparing COVID-19 to exile, but because we were in exile before then, I mean, it's the reality, we are pilgrims and strangers in the land. We are not of this world, but we're in the world. I mean, that's exile type language. The reality has been that through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have become the temple of God to reside in. And that's what it comes down to. And it's not to say that God does not desire to commune with us inside of a physical space, because clearly he does. But it's that he provides a new way for us to commune with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, I had to look into that for myself, because we know these things kind of intuitively, and we say things like we are the church. But there is great power in reminding us that We're not just the church because we're locked inside of our houses. We are the church because God's Holy Spirit resides inside of us because of what Jesus has done for us. You know, that is an amazing miracle and powerful truth. And I think that's one of the things that we need to take back into the building. Like, we need to come back into the building, realizes that when we leave, we are God's temple, like Jesus himself tabernacled on earth. Like, that's the language he uses in John 1. And he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. That's what he's saying. He embodied the church. And when he breathed into his disciples and when the Spirit came into us, we became places where God can meet with people. Mm-hmm. And that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. So regardless of whether we keep meeting in Zoom or whether we keep reading on online church or whether it's a website, we people, God's creation, whose Spirit resides in us, is the meeting place for people to meet with God. And I don't know about you, but that's like surprising and beautiful and such a challenge that people are supposed to not just see God in me, but meet God.
Mm. That's just, Javi, I appreciate your preaching, brother. I appreciate it.
Well, and I think kind of what you were saying is, I mean, and Paul reminds us of this in Corinthians, you know, he says, 1 Corinthians 15:20, he says, when he has done all of this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who has put everything under him so that God may be all in all. Like, he is all in all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are a people of exile. That is who we are. We don't belong here, but we are here. And he is making all things right, as he has in the past, as he in the way past, in the recent past, and into the future. Yeah, so I think that ultimately we have a choice to make in terms of how people and where people get to meet God. Do mm-hmm. we want to wait for them to come to church with us? Or are we just going to be who we've been called to be in the moment? And yeah. And I think that's the challenge, to be who God not only has created us to be, but to be who he has empowered us to be through the power of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and to be that tabernacle, to be that church where that mm-hmm. person is right then and there.
I just appreciate you, you know, working with your pastor and stepping up, you know, to help create space for people to be reminded of those truths. And I think my prayer right now is, like you're saying, that the church would come alive in ways that we could never even ask or imagine for that truth to be known, because it's never been about a building. It's always been about a God and his people that's redeeming all things. And we need that redemption. We just need it.
Amen, sister. I hope that people get to experience, back to Team World Vision, one of the greatest stories I ever have was that after training alone the entire season, was I got to run a race with a bunch of my friends that I'd never run with before. And one of these days, the veil of this being able to not gather in person will lift. It's going to completely lift off. And when you are worshiping in different places or listening to the sermon in different places, at some point that will end. And I can't wait for the day of that team coming back together. That team coming back together to be together, to fellowship together, to hug on each other, to love on each other. Because at the end of the day, what all of this is really about is measuring our aptitude to love.
Well, thanks for being with us, Javi. This has been so good for my soul.
Yeah, it's a real honor. I get to be with you and get to chat about this stuff. Just love you guys big. Love our team. Love our captains and our runners that are making it happen. Keep moving your feet, guys.
Thanks for joining us this week, team. We hope you're enjoying these conversations as much as we enjoy having them. In the meantime, some of you know that there's an African proverb that has shaped our team over the years. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We believe in going farther together, and you can help our team train together by rating and sharing this podcast. And of course, subscribe wherever you like to listen, and tune in next week.